put those back on? Yeah, thank you. I had a really bad day, like a really, really bad day. The kind of day where I left the office figuring that the only reason I would come back would be with empty boxes so I could fill them and never come back after that. You know that kind of bad day? Did anybody else have that kind of bad day where you're like, I'm just done with this? Where you want to say something, 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 and the white horse you rode in on, you want to say those kinds of things because you've had a bad day. It's the kind of day where you go eat your feelings, you know, because you just stuff your face with whatever it is that you stuff your face with. For me, at that time, this was April 2013, and the Works Cafe had Skyline Chili in it at the time. Remember those days? Can I get an amen for Skyline Chili? So I went over there to drown my sorrows in some conies, like with cheese and extra juicy with the chili. And so I sat outside and I looked across what is now the Canal Market. You know what I'm talking about? It wasn't the Canal Market at the time. And I looked back across there and there was these murals. Do you see the murals? Do you remember? If you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. The murals, I think they've maybe been redone a little bit because last time I was over there, it was kind of not great and they fixed them up. But these murals, I was like, you know what? This city was something. Man, there was something. And this was before all the downtown transformation. This was before all that. There was rumors about that happening. None of it had happened yet. It's 2013. And I go, man, this place was something. What if a church was part of the revitalization of a whole city? Like, what if a church could be a part of that thing? What if this city could be something again, and a church could just be a part of that, right along with whatever renovations are happening? A church could be a part of the spiritual and physical revitalization of an entire city. What if that could happen? Now, I had this moment, the scripture we read a little bit ago, Jesus looked over the city and he wept over the city. I'm not saying I'm Jesus or anything because I didn't weep, but I was like burdened. It was the first time in my life I had been burdened for the city of Newark because most of the time I just passed through it. I live in it, but I just passed through. I never came downtown. Previously, it was like, yes, I live in Newark, but please don't tell anyone. Then I started to get a longing to be a part of the fabric of the city. And I don't know if we're quite there yet, but we're on track for that sort of thing. But there's something important about leaving well. I didn't want to leave out of anger from the previous place where I was. And so God had a long work to do within me. Jesus had to calm me down. People know that I still have a little bit of short temper in me. Why are you guys laughing? It's still in there. It's not as bad as it used to be, but because Jesus is doing his work, but it's still there to some extent. So Jesus had to help calm me down and help organize people and bring folks on board to capture a vision for the city. There's something important about leaving well. About 8 months later, Tom Atha, who owns this building, but at the time he didn't own it yet, he was talking about purchasing this place. He owned Earthwork Recording Studio, one block down and one block over. He had told me about his desire to acquire this space. I hadn't seen it yet, but he said it had a ballroom in it. And he told me then about his girlfriend at the time, they're married now, his girlfriend had a 3-year-old son. She was studying to be a nurse, and she would take her son to McDonald's Playland. They could play, the child could play, and she could study and work on her schoolwork. And he said, could the church do better? Can the church do better? Can the church do better for creative hospitality and play space for children and studying than what McDonald's can provide? And I said to him, well, I sure think so. I think we can do better. I think the church can always do better. So we've been trying to do better ever since. Can the church do better? Yes, we can always do better. And so we started working on the ideas for Little Arrows Play Cafe long before it ever opened in the summer of 2017. We were starting to think about it in 2014. We hit every single final Friday that ever occurred during those times. Switch to that slide so we can see. We did this bounce house. How many final Fridays did we spend on the square sweating ourselves to death, saying, coming soon in the arcade? Finally, people were like, are you for real? Are you actually going to come soon? Because we'd like you to be open. And I kind of wondered that too. In fact, I pretty much let it go. At some point during 2015, 2016, I was like, I don't know if this is going to happen. I don't think this is going to work. I even struggled a little bit. Maybe I don't know how to listen to God very well because this isn't happening the way I thought it would happen. And so I started to question myself a little bit. It looked dead in the water. This property wasn't progressing. But then suddenly somebody gave us $2,500 for the project. Like out of the blue. Like, I was like, what are we going to use this for? There's nothing happening. But it started to rekindle. Oh, maybe God has something in store for us. Maybe God wasn't giving us the things we needed because we didn't need them yet. And he only provided the thing we needed at the time when we needed it. And then suddenly things started happening again. Suddenly, we had another $500. Somebody else gave $3,000. Suddenly, we had $6,000 for a project we weren't sure was going to happen. And I started ramping up those old plans again. I was like, oh, man, this might happen to this big wooden play structure that we had had our eyes on for a couple years ago. Go. That one right there. That one was on sale. It was $6,000. We had $6,000. It was on sale, 20% off. It was something like, do the math, $52, $53, whatever, $100. And so I was like, oh my gosh, if we buy this thing, we have to buy this now, but if we buy it, we're going to wipe out all the money we ever had. So I called my buddy Brian Harkness, the guy with the raspy voice in the black background. I said, hey, Brian, here's the situation. Told him about the money, told him about the thing. He goes, he asked a couple questions. He goes, would you be a play cafe without that thing? I said, well, not really. And then he asked a question that now haunts me every time we do church budgets. He said, whose money is it, yours or God's? Yeah, thank you. Oh, snap. Yeah. Whose money is it? Is it yours or God's? I said, it's not mine. It's God's money. He said, then spend it. Buy the thing. If that's what it takes, then buy the thing. Be faithful with it. So we bought it. We had it delivered to Marne Church, and it stayed in the storage garage for like 2 years because the building wasn't ready yet. But guess what? A week after we bought that thing, somebody gave us $6,000. Yeah, that's God's economics at work. We bought that big playset, and we had more money in the bank than we'd had before. That's God's economics. We worked, and we worked, and we worked on that play cafe. We had to delay our opening a few times. You can scroll some of these working pictures here, Sarah. Maybe turn down the lights. Maybe you can't know how to do that. But so they can see, like, it was bad. This space was bad. Go to the one more over. This is the ballroom. This is what this place looked like in 2016. Yeah, wow, it was bad, I'm telling you. In fact, there was big X's on the windows out there because they said, if it burns down, don't bother. It's that bad of shape. So we worked. Lots of credit to our team, Charity McFarland, Kim Voris, Danya Hagman, Mike Hagman, Danya's mom, Sherry, Diana Kozlowski. Danya, how much wallpaper did you scrape off? Like, yeah, it was 4 feet thick, and it comes off in little tiny things. But some amazing things happened as soon as we launched. A community began to develop. We started to see people coming who were finding community, especially moms. We thought we were providing space for people to do some schoolwork or housework or homework while they could watch their kid do some work, some play. But what we were doing was creating a space for lonely people to find connection. We didn't even know. Now we know. And we created community out of it. We hosted tutoring for teen moms. We hosted, we connected them with the baby pantry from Hebrew New Life. Danya created moms groups, started providing discipleship and connection. We made our budget in like the first month. We made budget in the first month. I don't think you know how amazing that is, but it is. We decided to move up our launch date for the church. We were going to wait like a year before, like we were tired, you know, we had done a lot of work. We were tired, thought we'd wait a year to start figuring out the church. But immediately we started planning this. And then 8 months later, we launched Engage Newark Church. Leading up to that launch, we started the Love the 43055 campaign. Yeah, there was our launch day. That was the first Sunday together on April 1st. But we did our first Love the 43055 campaign. Then in the fall of 2018, we had a gentleman by the name of Maurice Claret come in. Anybody? You know Maurice? There he is right there. Man, I was so happy that day. That was so cool. He talked about his work and involvement in the recovery community. And that was something we were just starting to think about. How can we help our area for addiction and recovery? And throughout all that time, our street out front was closed. All of it. The street was closed because they were finally catching up to us in renovating Newark around us. I'm just kidding about that. But all of our launches were in conjunction with construction, and yet you all still came. In the winter of 2019, we sponsored a mission trip to Haiti that ended up getting canceled because of political unrest in Haiti. So we went on the Haiti, not Haiti mission trip down to the Keys. It didn't feel like a mission trip at all because we just had way too much fun. It was the best mission trip ever. But we did hurricane recovery there. We had that spring maybe 8 or 10 families bring their children up here on this stage to be dedicated to the Lord, and we had a bunch of baptisms that fall. Mariah and Michael Riedel coordinated with youth leaders all across our county to create Unite. Remember Unite? We had 200 students from all over Licking County on our first night of Unite in here. It was amazing. We had such a wonderful spirit pushing into January of 2020. There's so much optimism. There's Unite. That we had this graphic for our sermon series in January, the 2020 vision. Where are we going forward? How are we going to conquer new territory in 2020 and beyond? The next decade is ours. We were so enthused about everything. And then 2020 actually happened. I remember telling Sean in February of 2020, before anything happened, I felt like I was a phony leading this church because, I don't know if you remember that, Sean, but I said, I don't have a vision. I'm fresh out. I'm preaching about getting vision. I got none. I got nothing in the tank. I've got nothing left. I don't know what to do. Let's just not screw this thing up. Like, that was basically where I was at with it. And I felt like I'd exhausted everything and I was nervous because what's a pastor without a vision? And about 3 weeks later, I found out why I didn't have any vision, because everything got shut down. I think God was like, it's okay, buddy. I got you. You know, it's going to be all right. We decided to close down services along with everybody else. Honestly, by the end of March, I was like, well, it was a good run. We gave it a good shot. Let's just pack it up, go home. I'll go work at Kroger. At least I can be an essential employee there. I thought about just hanging it up because I wasn't sure. And I was telling Josh Pennington, the pastor at More Life, about those feelings. He's like, dude, this is the time we need you. We need pastoral care now more than we ever needed it before. So I just started getting on the phone and we just called a lot of people. On our second birthday, we were apart. I shot a video and said, happy birthday, Engage. Love you. Hope you're doing okay. We started pre-recording on locations. We went to different locations around. This was at Buckeye Lake. I don't remember the sermon we did that day, but it was something about being by the water. It was kind of fun to do some of those things. I learned how to do videos, learned how to record and stuff. We couldn't get live stream going very well till later on July. We invited people back to the building. We averaged 23 people in person with no children's ministry from July of 2020 till sometime in 2021. 2023. That's like three tables of seven, but we had it so spread apart that it felt so terrible. But amazingly, though, our budget grew. I don't know how God's economics work, but they do. We had more money than we ever had. We did more ministry, and we spent more money than we've ever spent before. In October of 2020, we invested $8,000 in more camera equipment. By November, we got an additional above and beyond gifts, $13,000. That just replacing the $8,000 cost, and once again, giving us more than what we invested. The saddest thing about that was to do Easter and Christmas apart from one another, same year. I had said, well, we'll be back by Easter. We weren't even back by Christmas Eve. It was devastating. Never before had people in the church worked so hard and got so little in return in terms of gratitude and thanks. It was an enormously difficult season in the life of the church. 21 came along. By the end of the year, we had like 68 in person, 50 online. We're sort of back to where we were, but it just didn't feel like it because we weren't there. We'd had 115 in January of 2020. We thought, we're going to take off. And there, 2 years later, we're at 68. But God was faithful. I would consider 2020 and 2021 as pivoting. We pivoted all the time. We're just, how can we help people? How can we do worship? We pivot all the time. And in that season, late 2021, we acquired the Sage Yoga Space behind Moe's. Now we use it all the time. Mariah started a Dwell Circle out of there and impacted so many lives through that. Last year, though, 2022 was different. I don't talk about 21 because it was a disaster, just to be honest with you. On our annual reports, I write, here's the numbers for 2020. Here's 19, here's 18, here's 21. It just says, so bad. That's all it says. And then here's 22. So bad. But in 2022, vision started to happen again. I would characterize it as rebuild and launch. Rebuilding our teams back. The children's ministry team came back. We added new folks to the worship team. Rodney started up safety folks helping y'all across the street. Mariah led a youth missions trip to San Diego. We had a large group of baptisms again. In total, we've done like 20 baptisms since 2019, and there was a couple years we didn't do any. We had a large group of baptism that year, and we started launching things again in 2022. We had the I Am Project. Who's here because of the I Am Project and Danya? Come on, I know some of you here, just like you probably wouldn't be here otherwise. You're going to embarrass me. You know? Wow. Okay. How about Powerline? Who's here? Powerline. Yeah. I mean, a lot of y'all. The rest of them are on spring break, Danya.
They
some of them left, didn't they? So that brings us to 2023. And I'm going to wrap this up, guys. I know this is a long service. I should have warned you. This year, we started a new relationship with New Albany United Methodist Church. Our parent church, Marne United Methodist Church, has voted to leave the UMC altogether and join a different expression of the Methodist Church. Since we are not a chartered United Methodist Church, but I am a licensed pastor in the Methodist Church, we have to have a relationship with a church that is chartered. My friend Rachel Billups invited me to be appointed to her church in New Albany so that we can have a like-minded congregation that supports us and we can begin to partner with them as well. In fact, they sent, there was a whole family that came and worked with us on the square yesterday that came from New Albany UMC. And after the dust settles with all the UMC stuff, then we'll figure out where we're going to go, okay? We'll figure out what happens after that. But I want to show you this little video. It's a welcome and happy birthday from Pastor Rachel. And our next 5 years is going to be characterized by some of that. Do you have a video there? It's not in there. Don't worry about the lights, I guess. It's not in there. So don't worry about it. She's very nice. You have to trust me. We had so many computer issues with that thing. We have a dinosaur that runs all of our video stuff. That's why everything's glitchy today. We'll be replacing that sooner than later now that I know. So our next 5 years, What's the next 5 years look like? I've spent the entirety of Lent praying and fasting about this. We've gotten to this point. What does the next 5 years look like? And the answer is this: I don't know. I don't know. I don't have the same void or vacuum like I did in February of 2020. But here's what I think my issue is the pandemic has taught me that I can't guarantee the future. I can't just make plans and assume that all of these things that I have planned will happen. But it's taught me this too, that we are a resilient bunch, that we can get through a lot. We averaged 23 people in the building for most of COVID. Most churches didn't survive that kind of drop. But here we are. And yet God has proven faithful through you all and throughout our 5 years together. In the scripture passage we read, Luke tells the story of Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. We've spent 5 weeks talking about Jesus getting to Jerusalem. He's going to Jerusalem. Well, now he's finally made it, and he's actually having a really fantastic experience. It's pretty cool, this triumphant entry thing. The people welcome him. The people celebrate him. He tells the disciples, go get a donkey, one that's never been ridden on. And he says, if anybody asks you about it, tell them the Lord needs it. So it says exactly what happens. The owner's like, hey, what are you doing with that donkey? The Lord needs it. And I have a hunch in the next 5 years, God hasn't stopped calling us to do strange things. We're going to do weird things. We're going to start other churches when we're not even sure this one's going to live. We're going to keep starting stuff. We're going to ask God to call us to do things. And so when people say, why are you doing it? We say, well, we think the Lord needs it. Why are you doing this? Why would you start a church downtown? I think the Lord needs it. Why would you put it in a bar? Well, where else would we put it? That's where people need Jesus. We're going to go where people are that need Jesus. I feel like the Lord needs it. I think in the next 5 years, we're going to look. I don't know what those 5 years are going to look like, but I'm guessing it will look something like the last 5 years. We're just going to keep doing the next thing God calls us to do. I have a feeling it looks like something like planting a church somewhere between here and New Albany. Do you know there's going to be thousands and thousands of new people coming between us and New Albany? Do you think it's an accident that I got appointed to New Albany? That's on purpose, Adent. We did that on purpose. Hey, they have resources. We have passion. Amen? I want us to keep raising up leaders who start things. I want us to keep sending people out. I want us to be a hub for innovation and growth. I want us to be hero makers. We don't need to be the hero, but we can make heroes in our community. I want us to have spiritual grandkids and spiritual great-grandkids. I don't want just spiritual kids. I want my kids to be making spiritual kids. Amen? Amen. Y'all need to be making spiritual grandkids. Do you know how I know that it's working? Do you know? Because you're not here because of me. You're not here because I discipled you. You're probably here because you can point to somebody else in this room that has discipled you. And now we want to equip you to be the next one out. And so when you're the next one out doing strange things for Jesus and somebody asks you, what the heck are you doing? You just say, I think the Lord needs it. I think the Lord needs this. As Jesus entered the city, they started throwing their cloaks and their coats and their palm branches on the road in front of him. They were welcoming him as a conquering king. This wasn't just any king, though, because he wasn't on a war horse. He was on a donkey. They were welcoming him, but he wasn't the same kind of king that they wanted. They were praising God joyfully with loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. They said, blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And that's when the Pharisees, the religious people, came to Jesus and said, you should quiet them down. They shouldn't say those things. And Jesus said, I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. In the next 5 years, I sure hope we don't leave it to stones to worship Jesus. Amen? In the next 5 years, we are committing ourselves to worship God for all the miracles we have seen in our community and beyond, and that we continue to see. We must always praise God continually to give thanks for all the goodness he has brought to us. And then, verse 41, as he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and he wept over it. our hearts are going to keep breaking for the city. I confess to you, I didn't have a heart for the city. Yeah, I've wept over it since then, but even that day where I had my Kairos moment, I wasn't weeping for the city. Our hearts are going to continue to break for our city. We won't stop asking the question, can the church do better? Because the answer is yes. How might we engage Newark? How might we engage Newark with the love of Jesus Christ? You see our name? That's us. We engage Newark with the love of Jesus Christ. How might we show love to our neighbors? How might we bring good news to our city? How might we celebrate good news when it happens? You are part of that. You are part of all of this. You're now intersected with the story of Engage Newark. And now I ask you, how might you engage Newark with the love of Jesus? Let's just get after it. Let's get after it over the next 5 years. Let's turn our city upside down with the love of Jesus Christ. Now we're going to wrap up this service. We're going to do one more song. And here's what I wonder. If maybe we're singing the song. Sarah, you got your cool camera. Can you take a picture of all of us while we're doing it? You can come on stage and just do it. I'm sorry to put you on the spot. But you're taking pictures like, let's get a group photo. All right, I'm gonna pray, and then the band's coming up. We're gonna sing one more song, and if you have to go, you can go. Like, I know it's late, so let's pray. God, we thank you for these 5 years that we've had, and we thank you, Lord, even more for the next 5 years of what you're gonna do. We don't know what that is exactly, but we know that we're not gonna give up. We know we're a resilient people. We know that you have given us a passion to love our city, to engage the city of Newark with the love of Jesus Christ. Help us to find ways to figure out how to do it best and how to do it better. Lord, be with us as we wrap up this service with one more song. In Jesus' name, amen.